Hello, my name is Patrick W., and I'm an alcoholic. I'm also the Pinellas County biographer, and I'm sitting here with Jill G. She is a member of AA in Pinellas County, and we're going to just ask Jill a few questions. So good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So Jill, tell me a little bit about your life before AA.
Okay, my name is Jill G., alcoholic, and before AA, well, I guess you want to know when I started drinking, which was like around age 14. That's when I had my first blackout. I didn't know it was a blackout then. My dad was the bad alcoholic, and I swore I was never going to be like dear old dad. And what happened was I ended up just like him. I didn't know alcoholism was a disease. I had no idea. When I started drinking, I drank for fun. I could dance, I could talk, I could do everything that I didn't think I could do without alcohol. And it actually became a way of life. There are other substances in there, and I swore up and down that I would never do that because those people. And I ended up doing everything under the sun, pretty much. I got married when I was, I think, 23, and my husband was a little bit older than me, and he tried to control me, and I tried to control him, and that didn't work. And so I had a son. We had a son at age, I was like 26, I think, when my son was born. I did not drink through the pregnancy, but after that, I couldn't wait to drink again, not knowing about the illness of alcoholism. And my husband was always saying, don't drink so much, don't drink so much. But, you know, who was he to tell me what to do? Mm-hmm. And so I would drink. And when I drank, I usually got drunk. I could work. And so I would compare myself very early on to my father, who lost many jobs, but I could hold a job. I didn't wet the bed. He did. Mm. And so I wasn't like him. And my disease progressed to the point of I became violent. And so I divorced my husband, and my son came with me. And I left my husband for another man, and he was a bartender. And so, you know, Perfect. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Yeah. And I knew it was wrong. I did. But I couldn't stop myself. I knew it was wrong, but I just couldn't stop myself. So I, you know, got together with this man, and we were together 2 years, and my disease was progressing, didn't realize it, but he wasn't doing what I wanted him to do, and so, you know, he was going to do what I wanted him to do or else. Mm-hmm. And what happened was he wasn't coming home at night, being a bartender, and I figured I knew what he was doing, cheating, like I did. And so I tried to stop drinking because I knew it was starting to get out of hand. And one night when he didn't come home, I took a hammer to his pool stick out in the garage, hammered away at it, and then I hit it because I realized what I had done.
A little bit of insanity.
A little bit of insanity. And then so here again, I did try to stop drinking 72 days, but I was doing NA beer and other things. And I thought that was okay because I didn't know, because I wasn't going to be the alcoholic. So after that, I did drink because the boyfriend didn't come home again. And I premeditated in my head. I was drunk at the time. My son was in the car with me. And I said, if he's in the yard, watering the yard, he's going to get it. Now, I didn't know what that meant. But as soon as I pulled in, he was watering the yard. And I headed straight for him with my car.
Oh.
Yeah. And he ran up on the porch, thank God. And thank God I wasn't crazy enough to just run the car into the house. I backed it up. Meanwhile, my son is crying. And I had a moment of clarity. I saw myself when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Our dad was a bad alcoholic, like I said. Us kids used to be scared to death. And I saw us kids in the backseat crying or laughing, you know, because like, oh. But, and so that wasn't the end of that drunk, though. I backed the car up, and then I did these little donuts, I guess, in the grass. I think that's what it's called. Because I'm going to show him. I'm going to mess up his nice green grass. So, you know, very sick with the disease of alcoholism, but I really didn't know what I had. And that was not my last drunk. But about a couple weeks later, I came into AA.
Okay. That was my next question. When did you realize you needed help because your drinking had gotten out of control?
Yeah.
So.
Shall I go on?
Yeah.
So 1997 is when I divorced my husband, and 1989 is when I got sober.
Okay.
So 2 years of with this other man. And he was a good man. Both my husband and this other guy was, you know, good people. It was just, you know, I was the problem. And so I called AA. I called, actually, I guess I called 2250. Mm-hmm. They used to have a phone booth in the back, the old 2250 on Central Avenue. And someone answered. And I asked for help. And then, so anyway, a woman ended up calling me back, a woman. And she said, do you want to, I was drinking. This is kind of vague because I was drinking and she said, can you pour it out? And of course, you know, I don't think I did. But I agreed to meet her at a meeting. And I met her at 2250 and off the porch of 2250, she came with her hand out and she welcomed me to AA.
Nice.
That was the very beginning. And her name was Carol. And Carol saved my life. She was only my sponsor for 6 months because, you know, I thought she was trying to run my life. And who is she to tell me? Still, I was crazy. And because I was taking her inventory. I just have to put that in there. I was taking her inventory and everybody else's inventory when I came into AA.
Sure.
Because I was comparing. I'm not that bad. I have a job. You don't. I could pay my bills. You can't. Look at me. I mean, I guess that's the attitude I had.
Yeah.
And when I came into 2250, they had table toppers. And what table toppers were back in the day, 1989, was that people that were trying to get sober, it was mostly the men, but people that were trying to get sober, if they had no way to live or stay, they could stay at 2250 for 30 days. They had to have a sponsor, and they had to get up in the morning and, you know, put their bed rolls away or whatever they had, make coffee, prepare the room, and I felt sorry for them. And then later on, I felt, boy, they got it good. No responsibility.
Right.
You know, they don't have to take care of the kid or the job or the anything. So, I mean, very twisted thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so where and when did you get sober? And was 2250 your home group then?
No, I came into 2250. That was my first meeting. And my sponsor, you know, asked me if I believed in God. I said, yeah, I believe in God, but I had no faith. Mm-hmm. If something was going to get done, I was going to do it. But she asked me to pray and ask God to keep me from a drink and a drug and in the morning and then at night to get on my knees. This was always on my knees and to ask God and to thank God. That was the easiest thing my sponsor asked me to do. I had to show up every day. And so around 30 days, San Martin was opening up off of 83rd and Gandhi. And by this time, I wanted to join 2250 because it was closer to my home.
Mm-hmm.
And San Martin was 7 miles away.
And San Martin was a group?
Or it was a group. Yeah, it was a spinoff. Actually, it was a spinoff of 2250.
Okay.
Just like 2250 was a spinoff of St. Pete Group. It's a 12-step room. And it was very similar to 22. They let people stay there that needed, you know, needed to get sober. Not to live there, but to get sober and get back on your feet. You had to have a sponsor. But my thinking at that time was, no, I don't want to join that group. It's 7 miles away. I want to join 2250. It's only three. But my sponsor convinced me to join this group. And so, you know, begrudgingly, I joined the group. And I became very active in the group. Thank God for groups and sponsorship. Because without it, I would not be here.
Mm-hmm.
And today that holds true, sponsorship and actually sponsoring and having a home group and being involved in that home group, because there were days when I wanted to quit AA early in sobriety and I had a commitment to my home group at San Martin, and it was usually the Wednesday noon, probably for the first 3 years, because that was my day off and a Sunday at that time. And every Tuesday night I'd get mad at my sponsor, Carol. She was my sponsor for 6 months, and I'd want to quit AA. But because I had this commitment, it's really funny how it works.
Yeah.
I had this commitment, and so I would show up out there at 10 o'clock in the morning, right? My son was at school. Well, and he went to school in August, but he was at school. And I'd be there at 10 to make the coffee, make sure the room is ready, if nobody was staying there, to clean up. And back then we did ashtrays, you know, and we had the big coffee pot. And then I'd get home like probably, you know, 1:30 or 2. That's my whole day.
Yeah.
You know, and then, my son would come home from school and spend very little time with him, actually, because I needed to take a nap and then get ready for a night meeting. And that was my schedule.
Wow.
I always went to a meeting every night, son or no son, job or no job, wife or no wife, whatever the case may be. I was at a meeting every night, and two meetings on my day off.
Wow.
And so I just wanted to say this. I was living the program. This doesn't really make sense either. But I was living the program before I formally took the steps. Mm-hmm. You know, my sponsor had me go to step meetings, big book meetings, speaker meetings, and discussion meetings. And that was the, and we all kind of went in the same meetings, different meetings, different mm-hmm. groups, but we all met. It was like a big fellowship,
yeah,
like it is.
Yeah.
And so we got to know each other. And, and when someone was having a rough day, you knew.
Yeah.
You know, I was a crier. I cried a lot. My friend Thadine used to say, she came in 6 months later than me, and she'd say, "Well, why is Jill crying?" And it would be like, who knows why I'm crying, you know. But she would say that to her sponsor.
Well, you were feeling, obviously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. That's mm-hmm. that's really cool. So share with me a little bit about your first year of sobriety, your step experience, getting a sponsor. Mm-hmm. We asked you about your home group. And did you feel like that when you finally settled in your home group, it had a big influence? And does that group have a big influence in the community about helping people get and stay sober? Because 2250 is my home group too, and I think it's a huge group that helps many people.
I think, yes, I think the home group is very important for the individual, but it's also very important for the outreach in the community. Mm-hmm. So, yes, and, you know, at 22, which is my home group now, we do have 4 meetings a day, and that gives everybody an opportunity to get to a meeting. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with the Zoom world, I mean, there is no excuse today. But my first year of sobriety, I struggled a lot emotionally. Physically, I really didn't have too much effect on my drinking, but emotionally, I was, because I had such a negative attitude, it was really terrible, because everything my sponsor asked me to do, I didn't want to do. So that was the fight, that was the battle, mm-hmm. the battle of the mind, even though I did do it. So I wasted, personally, a lot of energy and time in my head, and because I ended up doing everything she asked me to do anyway. Mm-hmm. So at 6 months sober, I thought my first sponsor was crazy, which she wasn't. It was me. And I got another sponsor who had 10 years sober at that time, coming up on 10. And I thought it was going to be the easier, softer way, you know. But it wasn't. It was actually the same thing. Lynn was my second sponsor. She would just word things a little different than what Carol would word. And it would be the same message, of course. Well, thank God for that. It was the same message. There was no lightening up on meetings or anything like that. You know, we would go on my first year. Well, my first year at 10 months sober, my sponsor and her sponsor, they had this wonderful idea. We're going to go on an AA adventure. And this AA adventure that I'm going to tell you about actually saved my life, because it's such fond memories. Mm-hmm. There was 7 motorcycles. That was 6 men and 1 woman. My sponsor was the woman. And there was 2 carloads of women, 3 in each car. One of the cars was mine with 2 people, mm-hmm. and the other car was 3 people. And one of the women I was sponsoring at the time, she had 90 days sober. She came. My first sponsor came along on that trip. And this woman, this newcomer, left her husband and 4 children at home. Her husband said, go. Can you imagine? And then my son stayed with his dad mm-hmm. for that time we were gone. And so my sponsor told me to borrow money, pay up your extra bills for the month, because we were gone like 5 weeks.
Wow.
I had to ask for time off from work, which I had to write a letter saying I'm going to tour the country of USA. You know, today they don't really give you that much time off, but back then they did, 1990. And And I did all that. And we drove from here, St. Pete, Florida, all the way to Seattle, Washington. Now, that is a trip.
And this was your group of AA women.
Well, there were six men
yeah.
on their bikes, because my sponsor was a man.
Wow, that's crazy.
Moped John. And so, you know, some of his guys, and then my sponsor and her boyfriend were on the same, you know, they had their own bikes. And then, yes, six women. Seven, actually. Mm-hmm. So it was seven women, and I guess six men. That equals, if that's right. Mm-hmm. But and I think all of us stayed sober.
Wow.
One or two, I'm not sure, but and the length of sobriety on that trip was 90 days up to what did they have back that time? I don't know.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you,
yeah.
how long were you sober when you took that trip?
1 year.
Wow.
I celebrated my year in Reno, Nevada, and I thought it was like, whoa. We went to Circus. They took us to Circus. Now, before we left on this trip, they did take us to different meetings so we could get used to, I guess, being around different mm-hmm. types of people. But we celebrated my 1 year in Circus. Now, if anyone doesn't know what that is, that's kind of like a gambling place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time sober I had been in anything like that. And we're like, oh, looking at each other. But we were safe. I
yeah.
mean, the big book does talk about we can go anywhere as long as we're spiritually fit. Now, we were with our sponsors,
yeah.
you know, so it was sponsors, mm-hmm. you know, grand sponsors, pigeons. And we didn't stay in there long,
mm-hmm.
but that was my first year. And then we did go out to the 1990 International Convention. That's what was happening in Seattle, Washington. And it was a trip of a lifetime.
That's so cool.
Trip of a lifetime.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's real. And yeah, that was a big influence in your sobriety at that time,
yeah.
too, I'm sure. That was a great opportunity.
Yeah.
So service work. When did you first get into service work?
Okay, well,
and do you find service work to be instrumental in people staying sober? I personally do.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. So like I said, I didn't formally take the fourth step until I was come back after that trip.
Mm-hmm.
And my sponsor got me right into it. So when I say I was living the steps, that I feel I was living life sober. You know, of course, the change comes after we, you know, get things down on paper mm-hmm. and look at our defects, because I couldn't see me.
Mm-hmm.
No. I was still, you know, judging and taking inventory of other people. But got into the steps and got to see a little bit about me. And I was just reading this morning in the fourth step where it talks about it's a lifetime in the fourth step.
Yeah.
A lifetime journey. Of course, we know once you do a fourth step and then you do the other steps, you get to the 10th. And I live on the 10th, 11th, and 12th mm-hmm. step. Because this morning, I'm going to get a little sidetracked. This morning, I was wondering, why is this in today's reading in the Daily Reflection? Because this is 10th month, you know, 10th step. But the 4th step and the 10th step, it's an inventory.
Right.
So, you know, hello, we wake up when we wake up. Okay, I'm mm-hmm. just saying. but service work. So I was always active in the home group. That's service work. You know, sponsoring others, that's mm-hmm. service work.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other level of service, I was the intergroup rep.
Nice.
For a year. And I enjoyed that, you know, bringing the news back to the group. And then I was a GSR for 2 years. And that was as far as I went in, you know, outside the group level mm-hmm. service. And I did enjoy that too. You got to travel a little bit, and some people think, oh, you're just trying to get away from us. And it's like, well, whatever, it doesn't matter why
yeah.
I'm doing it. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
Being a GSR for your group is a very important
it's
role.
It's a very important role, yes.
Yes, and it's not a popularity contest who gets appointed. Not that that hasn't happened,
right.
because it probably has. But it is a responsibility for us to be present and go to those meetings, you know, when they have the assembly
mm-hmm.
and in the quarterlies. And listen and bring it back.
Yeah.
So it is very, very important. And now recently, I really don't know much about the concepts. I'm just saying I had been listening in on a concept meeting. Traditions, we do have traditions meeting at our home group.
Mm-hmm.
The first Sunday of the month, right after our business meeting, which is a great opportunity to have it. But it's very important to apply everything that AA has to mm-hmm. offer.
And the concepts are very important.
Yeah, I still am learning.
Yeah.
Even all these years later. Oh, I didn't give you my sobriety date.
What is your sobriety date?
Oh, my. It is June 26, 1989.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I knew I was leaving something off when
well,
I introduced
that's
myself.
That's important, but that's okay.
Hmm.
That's okay. I should have picked up on that, too. Tell me about today's changes in AA service from when you first got sober and started doing service work. Do you see a lot of changes in AA today?
You know, that's a hard one to answer, actually. For me, mm-hmm. Other people have a lot of different opinions. Mm-hmm. I still go to step meetings. I still go to big book meetings. I try to read what's in the book. And actually, you know, I made a statement that we wake up when we wake up. Is it changing? Some people might think so. I hope you don't go too far out of the book, because then, you know, what happened to the Washingtonians?
Yeah.
They tried to do other things and get involved in other things. That's my answer. It's not really an answer.
Yeah.
But
like, as far as service work is concerned, do you see people still getting into service work like we did when we first got sober?
I do, at least my home group.
Good.
I do see that, you know, the 2250 and other groups that are in our area. I do see that, you know, they, for AA not to change to a negative, we got to continue doing what works.
That's right.
So that's why the GSR and the DCM and our delegate and, you know, on and on and up mm-hmm. the line. It's so important that we continue to do that so that we stay a well-informed group.
Mm-hmm.
And have I been guilty of not listening in a group meeting, a business meeting? I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but since COVID, some things maybe slipped through the cracks that we were not aware of, like the preamble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my sponsor now, today, she says that we are actually breaking tradition if we still want to read the old preamble because we're supposed to be unified, you know, unified.
Mm-hmm.
But our group, which is autonomous, we did vote back in the old preamble, men and women. And so, you know, those little things like that, we have to be careful of, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
But every group is autonomous.
Every group is autonomous.
Yeah. And your sponsor's a hard nose. I know your sponsor.
Yes, you do. Yes, Simone. Yeah. And she's on her way too. She's a past delegate, but she is on her way to the quarterly because that's what past delegates do.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you made a difference as a member of the AA Fellowship all these years, especially in Pinellas County? And you, of course, you still do service work and you do sponsor people.
Yeah. I do. I do all of that. And have I made a, you know, I don't toot my own horn here. Actually, I believe I get more help from the people
mm-hmm.
in the meetings than I give.
Mm-hmm.
So do I know I've made a lot. Yes, I have made difference.
You've made a difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's the, you know, especially when you sponsor someone and then they move on.
Right.
And then you see them, which happened last year at the picnic, the AA picnic in Pinellas County. I saw one of the girls I used to sponsor, and she's like, oh my goodness, she's retired now. I think she's 20 years sober. And, oh, how you doing, Jill? And, you know, her name is Linda. I'll just mm-hmm. say that. And so we saw each other, and it was like I was her first sponsor. But, you know, then we parted.
Sure.
Part of what was me. I know that. And we talked about that last year. And she said, no, it was me. But yes, I have made a difference. Can I count on them? No, I can't count on my fingers.
Yeah.
Who or when or. But I try and, well, you know, I don't think I've talked about God, but without God, I would be nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Without AA, I probably would be dead or in prison.
Right.
Because of, you know, what I told you earlier about my end of my drinking. And I have to continue to do this if I want to stay sane and sober.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important to me, being sane and sober.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what works, and I hope to God that I don't stop. Because I know I have the disease of alcoholism. Very scary. I'm learning, you know, when the book says cunning, baffling, and powerful, it really is.
Yes,
cunning,
it is.
Baffling, and powerful.
And, you know, I always tell people that challenge your alcoholism and it wins every time. Every time.
Yeah.
We don't have the power to stop it.
No.
You know, cunning, baffling, and powerful is what it is. Well, that kind of concludes our interview, Jill. Thank you so much for opening your home to me this morning. And it was great. You did great.
Thank you. Thank you. It wasn't so bad after all.
No, I'm
thank
sorry.
You, Patrick.
It's a little shorter than, you know, some people like, but we have to keep things easy.
Short is good. Thank
That's
you.
That's right. Thank you, Jill.